Hello, and welcome to our website, hccdonna.org. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon titled, Time to Grow, Part 3, God Uniquely Works with Us. In this sermon, we learn that spiritual maturity understands that our God uniquely works with us like a parent who works uniquely with each child. Stay tuned to hear scriptures about spiritual maturity and how God works uniquely with us. And now, on to this week's sermon by our senior pastor, Pastor Elias Ozuna.
Today, Heavenly Father, we just give you honor, praise, and glory that you are with us, that you lead us and you guide us into all truth, that this year, 2019, as we continue to sow and we're determined to grow, Lord, we know that good things are coming because the biblical principles, your word, the word of God, and the biblical principles inside your word, they're not just like Russian roulette, Lord. They're gospel, they're truth, and they work. And we know that when we live according to your word, that you bless us running over. Will you bless us completely, Lord, and you fulfill our hearts and our lives with peace and joy. So, Lord, we want to learn. We want to grow, and we want to be wise. And so that's what this is about. Just help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, you've heard the term, ignorance is bliss, right? Like, it's better to be ignorant. Well, I've come to learn when it comes to the Word of God, that's not true. growing in knowledge and wisdom is so helpful in your walk with the Lord, isn't it? Amen. And that's kind of what we've been on is digging a little deeper into the Word, and it's not always as black and white as sometimes we like to make things. I'm one of those people that I just want to know the black, you know, yes or no, or the good, bad, or black and white. You know, it's easier for me if I just know there's a line and that's good and that's bad. But I've come to learn that reading God's word takes a little wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Not everything is black and white. Not everything is as it seems, right? There are certain things that are. I always like to make sure I make that point, and you don't leave this place thinking, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's either. No, there are some things that are very black and white in God's word. Amen? Amen. Right? Like the Ten Commandments. There's no, you know, interpretation there that's mixed, right? It is serve the Lord thy God with all your heart. Don't commit adultery. You all know the Ten Commandments. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Those kind of things. And those are pretty black and white. But there's other things that we just need to keep reading and asking God to give us wisdom. And this series that we've been on, it's time to grow. Today I want to talk about God uniquely works with us. You know that God works with you very uniquely, very personally. He doesn't just deal with us all the same. And sometimes that doesn't seem fair. But God is just. Just because it doesn't seem fair to you doesn't mean God's not just. Amen. Right? Yeah. It takes wisdom to understand that, right? I mean, you ask, you know, a child, when they see that you treated their older brother different than you treated them as a parent, they're like, they see the injustice right away. No, you did. But for so-and-so, she got to drive when she was 16. Yeah, but you don't have any self-control, son. Right? I got to treat you differently. To them, it's totally unjust. But to you as a parent, it's totally wise and totally just. And within your order, right? Within God's order of authority. So you see, not everything is always. So what may seem unjust to you may not always. For God is always justice. Amen. Right? That's clear in God's word. He's always just. He's always just, even though it may not look like it to you. That's why I love that parable where Jesus says, this worker came and he started at 6 a.m. and I gave him a penny. And this worker came and started at 5 p.m. and just worked for 30 minutes or an hour. And I gave him the same amount of money. And Jesus gave that parable as an example that I treated you all justly. And the person that started in the morning was like, no, I don't think so. I've been here 8 hours on the hot sun. How can you pay me the same as the guy who just worked for 1 hour? And Jesus said, you know, I made an agreement with you. You accepted it. It is just. right? And so I love digging a little deeper into God's word, and it's not always as it seems. And that's what I want to talk about today. God uniquely works with us. He does. He does. So everyone has their notes, right? Wave them at me. All right, very good, very good. All right, so in 2019, it's the year to sow and to grow. And we're going to keep growing in wisdom and knowledge and maturity in Christ. We need more spiritual maturity in the church. Amen? So many churches are going through divisions and strife because there's so much quarreling and there's no maturity in there. We need to grow. When we grow in spiritual maturity, we are able to recognize the enemy's tricks. Where there is disunity, the enemy is in it. It's time to be in unity and focus on the things that are most important. Spiritual maturity brings unity, and unity in Christ brings down the gates of hell. So it's time to grow in spiritual maturity. So the main point today, your first underline on your handout, spiritual maturity brings unity. Feel it out there. Unity. And unity is in Christ brings down the gates of hell. The main point in today's sermon is spiritual maturity understands that God uniquely works with us like a parent works uniquely with each child. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 8. How did Paul know there was immaturity in the church? Well, we're going to read it right here. Paul says to the Corinthians, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, meaning milk immaturity and meat more mature in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? Why did he feed him with milk? Why couldn't he not give him more mature topics? Why? Because, he says, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. You weren't ready for the meat. You weren't ready for a mature conversation. A Christian conversation. Why? Neither yet no now are you able. You weren't able when I was with you, and even now you're not able to handle the meat of God's word, of God's ways. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So Paul is saying here, look, you guys aren't ready yet because here you are having these quarrels and these nags and nagging stuff and just stuff that in the big picture is like not really that big a deal, right? And as long as you're in that kind of complaining and like it shows that you're not ready because there's divisions. It shows that you still are carnal. In other words, you're not thinking with your spiritual mind, right? And that's what Paul was making very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 8. For while, he says there in verse 4, for while one saith, I am a Paul, another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? You all are arguing about things that, you know, don't even matter. Who got saved by Paul? Who got saved by Apollos? Who was water baptized by Paul? You must be better than the one that was water baptized by Apollos. This denomination is better than that denomination. And, you know, all of that stuff, right? You're not getting it. You're being immature in your conversations. And then is Paul and who is Apollos? Who's Paul and who's Apollos? Who are they anyway? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So it didn't really matter who led them to Christ. I have planted Apollos, and Apollos has watered, but it is God that gives the increase, right? It's God doing all the work in us. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So it's important to have laborers in the Lord and servants of the Lord to plant and to water. But nobody should think that they're better or better than anyone else, right? Because it's God who uses us and it's God who gets the glory in all things. You see, but we in our human nature and sometimes our carnal mind, we like to take credit, right? In a lot of churches, you have divisions between the One of the most common, I read up on this a long time ago, and I believe it's still true today. One of the most common things is that you have a pastor, a senior pastor, and a worship leader will be one of the most common divisions that happen in a church. And it kind of makes sense because the pastor's preaching, right, and proclaiming God's word, and there's an anointing and a responsibility with that. And then the worship leader is leading, and they also have an anointing and a responsibility, you know, and a position of authority in that sense. And then there's these two forces of people with human nature, and sometimes they get in a, no, I think we should be doing it this way. No, I think we should be doing it this way. Same thing can happen with a youth leader or a youth pastor. I know that in our pastor group, we've been working together so long. We talk about these things, and we know that God's a God of order, and nobody always has all the answers, but we just trying our best to get it right. But a lot of times there's immaturity in that, in those leaders, and things go bad really quick. But God is not in that. God is not in that. The enemy is the author of confusion, right? The enemy is the author of confusion. So here you have a perfect illustration of Paul saying, you know, I can't give you meat because you're still quarreling about things that don't matter. So it's time to grow, right? It's time to grow. And so I wanted to cover that. And also, if you turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Romans 13, verse 7. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that God is a God of order. And this is very important that you teach your children this. And I talked about it. And it's so important to be spiritually mature, to be spiritually wise. You have to live this principle, or else there's chaos. And what is this principle? And it is this: render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. It's so important that you teach your children that you live this way, that the authority that resides in your life, whether it's a police officer, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a governor, whether it's a president, whether it's a mother and a father in a home, whatever the authority that's God-given authority, because there's also a scripture that says these authorities, God is the one that is in control, that assigns them, right? He's the one that assigns presidents and leaders. And we may not like it, but remember, he's got a whole bigger purpose than you could ever understand, right? He's got, right? So when the wrong president is elected and you're like, what's God doing? You know, don't worry, he's in control. He knows, he's got a big picture. But this principle of order and authority is so important in the church. It's so important in your life. It's so important that you teach your children that authority has to be honored, right? And even when there's an injustice, and I read you that scripture when Peter got slapped, or Paul, I'm sorry, Paul got slapped by the high priest, and he cursed him, and when he realized it was the high priest, he apologized for cursing him because he said, God's a God of order, right? And he backed off because he knew God's word. It's so important. When there's injustice, you handle it according to God's word, in order, right? You don't handle it. So you parents, you tell your children that if a teacher does something and they feel it's unjust, they talk to you about it, and then you go talk to the teacher. You don't ever okay that your child talks back and dishonors a teacher, even when it doesn't seem just, because God's a God of order. You got to do it the right way. See, these are principles that, you know, we have some parents like, yeah, my child deserved to yell back at that teacher for what happened. No. That's not how the Word of God teaches us. So growing in wisdom, God's a God of order, like I said, and follow the laws of the land, right? The authority that's over us. So that's important. So I want to move on to God uniquely works with us. So the next underline that you have in your handouts is God, you fill in the blank there, uniquely works with us. What is sin to one person may not be sin to another person. Uh-oh. Watch out, Pastor. Uh-oh. What are you talking about? Right, this is dangerous waters we're going into here, but we need to look at God's word. God uniquely works with us. Example, how God can work differently with us. Let me just give you an easy example that it's just I'm not talking about anybody in this church, right? This is very hypothetical, right? Don't anybody leave this place that, oh, he was talking about me. I mean, if that happens and it's you I'm describing, then it might be the Holy Spirit talking to you about it. But I'm not purposely talking about you. But let's say someone had a drinking problem, right? Alcohol problem. And they've been praying about it, and God's working through them, and they're being honest about trying to deal with it, right? And in their prayer time, the Holy Spirit kind of speaking into their heart, saying, you know, it's probably wise for you never to go to a convenience store or to a store that has alcohol by yourself ever again, or at least not until, right? And that could be something that in your prayer time is like, you know what? I have this problem. It's probably best that I have accountability, right? Never be in that situation on my own. So if that person ends up praying and that's what they feel, and then they go do it, they go on their own to a convenience store and they get tempted, to them, that's sin, right? But if you go to the convenience store and you don't have this problem, to you, that action is not sin. So you see, not what may be sin to one person may not always be sin to another person, because God's working uniquely with you. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. So sin isn't always specific to an action. It is specific to how God is dealing with you. God uniquely works with us. Don't compare yourself to others. Oh, if they did it, I could do it, right? Seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. And this is the key. You have to be in prayer. You have to be seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth. And the more you're in prayer with him, the more he may tell you to do things that other people don't have to do. And to you, it would be sin, and to them, it would not. But that's okay. He works with us uniquely. And at the same time, when God starts working with you like this and holding you to a different standard, you don't have to go to all the world how God's holding you to a different standard so you can show off how awesome you are. Right? And then start making other people feel bad. Yeah, God told me not to go movies. That was sin for me, you know? He told me not to go. I don't think you should be going either, but, you know, that's not how this works. That's immaturity. Right? When God begins to deal with you uniquely on whatever it is he's dealing with you about, it's between you and him and the Holy Spirit, and you are the one that he's holding responsible for that, whatever it is he's working on you with. And each one of us have different weaknesses and different issues, and he wants to work with us that way. So things aren't always the same. He works very uniquely with us. So I want to read the story of Miriam and Aaron, who thought they knew better, but they didn't. Go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 16. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 16. So Miriam and Aaron, Miriam is the sister of Moses, right? So if you saw that animation cartoon, The Prince of Egypt, you remember Miriam in there, right, in that story. And you remember Miriam was the one that put Moses in the little boat and tried to make sure that his boat was okay, because the mom had to make a decision because all the babies were being killed. All the Jewish babies were being killed in Egypt. So they put Moses on a boat, and it was Miriam who, with the mom, orchestrated and pushed the baby. And when the Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby, it was Miriam watching what was going on and made the connections between. So she was very involved. And Miriam, as Moses came back and he led them out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam and Aaron were very high up in the order of authority in the children of Israel. Right? Miriam was a very powerful player in the wilderness experience and everything that was going on with Moses. So she was a prophetess in her own right. She was a minister in her own, not compared to Moses, because Moses was obviously talking directly to God. But she was way up there in leadership in this effort. So it's interesting how this story quickly turned on Miriam and Aaron. And let's read the story. So we get to a situation where Moses had a very interesting schedule. He didn't have like a normal marriage, a normal situation at all. And Miriam was a little bit upset about this situation when he married somebody that wasn't of their people. So let's read it. Miriam, chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? So Miriam is asking the question, is it only Moses that God is speaking to? Aren't we also hearing from God and prophets in our own right? And hath not he spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So Miriam is saying, you know, don't we also hear from the Lord? Aren't we also able to judge what Moses is doing? Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Came out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. So Moses, Miriam, and Aaron come out of the tent, or they're near the tent, the tabernacle, and the Lord is speaking to them. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud, and he stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Can you imagine? Aaron, Miriam, come forth. God, there, pillar of fire. This is not looking good, right? And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He's not like any ordinary prophet, is what he's saying. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all mine house? With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Needless to say, God was not happy that Miriam and Aaron came against this meek and mild Moses. He was not happy. So what happened next? And the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. You know, Moses didn't want his sister to get leprosy. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hezra and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Very interesting story of Miriam being punished for trying to say what Moses is doing is sin. And God said, wait a minute. I talked to Moses one-on-one. Who are you? You're out of order. This isn't right. And leprosy hit her. And of course, Moses pleaded for, Moses always pleaded for people, right? God was ready to strike the children of Israel dead in the wilderness because they were built the golden calf. And Moses said, no, please. And God and Moses, they had a special relationship. And Moses married this Ethiopian woman, and Miriam thought, this is wrong. Well, we don't know what kind of conversations. She doesn't know what kind of guidance Moses was getting. For all that could have happened is God may have told Moses to marry this Ethiopian woman. And God's God. Always just, remember? I say always just. Just because he wrote a law in the book of Moses saying, marry within your own Jewish culture back then, there's a bigger reason God was doing that. That's not about sin. It was about, this is my commandment. You need to obey it for some reason that he had that was beyond their understanding. But God is always justice. And Miriam was trying to put Moses into her understanding of order. So she missed it. She missed it. So you see, when I said what is a sin to one person may not always be a sin to another person. Because if someone else outside of Moses would have married against the law of Moses, then that would have been a sin. But not, it just, God deals with us uniquely. And this is a concept that it takes maturity to understand, because we always want to say, no, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. This is true when it comes to moral law, the Ten Commandments, right? It's black and white, like I said earlier. And these kind of things are set that we all have to follow. But there are things that the Holy Spirit is uniquely working with you about, and you need to follow his guidance and his purpose. So Miriam thought she had a legitimate complaint about Moses. But God did not agree. God has his reasons for dealing with each one of us differently. Just like a parent deals with each child in a different manner, the moral laws we must follow, but other topics, like the Ten Commandments, but other topics, God deals with us differently, uniquely. The main focus on our part should be to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. In humility, praying and asking God to guide you and to direct you. So you see how now in God's word, when we dig a little deeper, it takes wisdom and knowledge, and ignorance is not bliss. Because then you get into quarrels that don't really matter. Then you get into, gaining in wisdom and how God's character, how he works with us uniquely is important. And it helps us to grow. And we are determined to grow. So in conclusion, 2019 is the year to sow and to grow. Don't be satisfied with just being ordinary, and keep learning and growing in the Lord. Not everything is as it seems. Grow beyond the basics. And grow in wisdom and in knowledge. Today we've learned that God uniquely works with us all. He uniquely is working with us. A sin for one is not always a sin for all, with the exception of the moral laws like the Ten Commandments and other moral laws that we'll review next week a little deeper on all those moral laws. The reason God wants us to be spiritually mature is not so that you can be recognized and lifted up, but that we can guide others to not be in confusion. We can guide others not to quarrel with things that don't matter. We can guide others to focus on God's character and who he is and how he works with us uniquely. We can guide others in their spiritual growth. So as you begin to apply these mature biblical principles to your life and to your children, these principles will grow. You'll grow beyond elementary principles, and you'll grow into meat. As Paul talked to these the Corinthians, you know, you need to grow beyond basics and the quarreling and stuff that doesn't matter. And you need to grow. And God works with us uniquely that way. So I wanted to share this, and I feel that as we dig in a little deeper into the knowledge and wisdom, that it makes sense. God is always just. He's always just. And he works with us differently, and it's okay. It's okay. And the easiest illustration is just to see how a parent has to raise children differently. It is so true. You just got to raise them differently because they're different. And that's important. So that's the lesson for today. And next week I want to continue on this topic of growing into maturity in Christ. And we'll cover more of the moral laws and the laws that God has put in our midst that we need to follow. So let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, you're a good God, and you're teaching us these principles. Lord, we know that for such a time as this, you need us to be ready. You need us to be ready. As Aloy mentioned at the beginning of this service, you have big plans. You have big plans for each and every one of us. We have different abilities and skills, and we need to be ready to be able to handle situations, and when there's quarreling, to rise above these situations and be mature in you. So, Lord, as we read deep into your word and we want to grow beyond elementary principles, we ask that you will guide us, Lord, not by man's thoughts, but you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to learn and to grow and to help others to also grow out of elementary principles, to also help them and guide them through struggles and battles. So, Lord, we just pray as we seal this time together and you seal this in our hearts. Wonderful service today and a worship and a wonderful time together in obedience to your word. But when we leave this place, Lord, we want to take you with us. We want to change the world around us one person at a time. Teach us to be wise. Teach us to say to speak when it's time to speak and to be silent when it's time to be silent. Teach us not to get into quarrelings that are not important. And Lord, I just pray that in the days and the weeks to come, as we continue to sow, and the women sow in their meetings, and the men sow, and the projects, we sow into projects, we sow. Lord, I just pray that you will continue to show us the path, show us the way, lead us and guide us, Holy Spirit, so that we can maximize our heart, our servant mindset to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.